Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. It's the Recruiting Animal, and boy, we missed 2 weeks. Wasn't intentional, but we're back. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is everybody who reads the Recruitosphere knows that yesterday, John Sumser, Papa John Sumser, alias Mr. X, wrote a posting about gurutosis. Now, it's not a disease. I really believe that it's some kind of fundamental leadership quality, a lot like charisma, because you know as well as I that true leaders are vain, arrogant, self-important, egotistic people who like nothing better than to put themselves forward as the greatest thing since sliced bread. And if you've ever listened to this show before, you know without a doubt that when Papa talks about someone who's had a modicum of success, who whines and gripes about uncertainty, but has the gall to take on an air of infallibility, you know for sure that he can only be talking about one man, and that man is me. Get the point? However, listen to this. For some crazy reason that only he knows, Papa didn't say who he was talking about. And, of course, there's some other pretenders to the throne. Of course, one of them, you know, is my old buddy, J.D. Jason Davis. Kind of a surprise, because you know what? This guy has had more glory than he can handle, you know, but he always needs a little more. And you think maybe that qualifies him for the title. But, of course, it doesn't. The reason J.D. thinks it's him is he doesn't know what infallible means. He thinks it's good. I know it's good. And you know why I know? Because I'm the Recruiting Animal. And this is the Recruiting Animal Show. And as usual, no music. What can I do? I'll know what I'll do. I'll bring in my guests and then we'll play it later on, as usual. So, hey, wait a second. Let's go.
The werewolf is neither man nor wolf, but a satanic creature with the worst qualities of both. And do you expect me to believe that a man so afflicted actually becomes a wolf under the influence of the full moon? I'm afraid, sir, that I gave up my belief in goblins, witches, personal devils, and werewolves at the age of 6.
Well, I know a lot of personal devils, but I don't have them on the show today. Let me just come back to reality for a second. A lot of us who listen to this show, and I know there's many, many people out there, write recruiting blogs. In fact, I think only people who write recruiting blogs listen to this show, and we know there's not many of those. But anyway, we put a lot of time into these blogs. I know I do. And there's a guy, a communications consultant, a very famous guy. His name is Mr. Mustache, but I'll introduce him a little later. He lives, I won't even say that right now. What he says, the key thing that he says, is that we can turn our blogs into money-making media machines. Money-making media machines. And actually, he's been very flattering to us. He said many times over the last few months maybe, that the recruiting blogosphere is very advanced in its use of online vehicles for communication. In fact, he says that we're way ahead of many or even most communication specialists. And who's this great fan of ours? Now I'm going to introduce him. Of course you know that all the way from Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the man with the mustache, Mr. Mustache, Richard Becker. Richard, are you there?
I'm here.
Great.
How are you doing, Michael?
Great. Animal to you.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Doesn't matter. You can call me Mike.
Let me see.
Okay. So there's a few questions I have to ask you. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay, you know what? Because you're up against an opponent today.
I know.
Much better than me. You better be ready, because we got a guy from Atlanta, Georgia. Sharp-tongued, quick-witted, and very, very funny. You know what I'm talking about? Harry Joyner, the marketing headhunter. Harry, are you there?
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Right on! Okay.
Here.
I
have a werewolf theme song, you know. There's no special intro for me. So.
We'll get something better for you next time you come. I wasn't prepared. And you
all
see,
right.
I always have problems with the technology. Anyway, first a little introduction before we go to it. Now one thing that John Sumser said is that a true leader is not afraid to say that he doesn't know. And I got to tell you, when it comes to this topic, I don't know anything. You guys have to handle the show. So I hope you feel good about that. And I'm actually afraid to say that because I think it takes away from my qualifications, because I believe that a true leader poses as an expert and never admits that he doesn't know, except maybe in this case. When he doesn't know anything, it makes him just look a little modest. But I have a few intro questions for you. I want you to know, did you know I was in the paper this week? Richard?
I did.
That's good. Harry?
What paper?
I was in the Globe and Mail, Canada's national newspaper. It was an article called Anarchists with Day Jobs. And I was right in the middle of it. And I'm not even an anarchist. At least I didn't think I was. But anyway, okay, that's my
space.
Pardon me?
It was real good space.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And you're an expert, you should know. But I have another question. Have you guys, and I'll ask Richard first and then Harry later. Richard, have you ever gone home and all of a sudden you think your wife and children have been replaced by substitutes?
Every day. I'm joking.
Harry, ever had that experience?
Every day.
Well, there's a name for that. I can't remember the name of the disease, but it's a real disease. There's a guy here in the papers in Toronto. He used to be on Saturday Night Live and SCTV, and he's in jail because he came home one day and thought his wife and daughter had been replaced by substitutes. His wife got scared of him and put him away. 2 years now. So just wanted to check if you guys ever had that experience. Let me see. You know what? I was going to tell you that I had been at the Anarchist Conference in 1988, but I did not attend the riot, but that's not important. You know what? Let's go right to it now. I don't have much to ask you guys because everyone knows you very well. And Harry has a very good five questions you don't know about me section on his blog. But so let's go, Mr. Mustache. I'll give it to you to start off. You pose your thesis, lay out a few points, and then we'll let Harry do the same, his counter thesis.
Sure, absolutely. Basically, Animal and Harry, what I've been proposing is that, you know, there's a tremendous shift right now in communication industry as we know it, largely because of social media. And one of the biggest trends that's occurring right now is major networks are starting to look more and more to the Internet because the Internet is actually capturing more ratings than the average broadcast channel.
TV? You mean TV?
Yeah, the Internet's beating TV.
Okay, really?
In terms of programming. And advertisers are really starting to pay attention to that. Now, as a result, there's a couple things going on, but one of the things is that there's a lot more Internet distribution platforms specific to video that are being developed every single day. I mean, there's at least one new one a week right now.
Can you give us an example?
Video Egg is a new one.
Yep.
Rever has been around for a while.
R-E-V-V-E-R?
R-E-V-V-E-R, yes.
Okay.
There's a new one that was launched today. I think it's ADAPT, without the T, A-D-A-P.
Okay.
TV. All of these media distribution platforms are starting to create programming that's you know, quite a few notches up from YouTube, which was just the boom.
Yeah.
YouTube is really what inspired this.
Uh-huh.
So as these media distribution platforms are laid out, it creates an opportunity for either people on their own to go out and start creating worthwhile programming that could actually have advertisers. Or I see it as a potential for businesses, perhaps recruiters, to, you know, if they have the skill sets, it's not necessarily for everybody, but if they have the skill sets, why not create a show to help gain exposure and put yourself out as the expert? Not all that much different from the Recruiting Animal show.
Okay, but I got a question for you. Harry, is it okay if I ask the question first?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. You know what? J.D. Jason Davis, my nemesis, I got a lot of nemeses, he says, he's actually calling me all the time with different sites to go and visit. He's like my technological mentor to some extent. And he sent me just a little while ago to blogtv.ca, and I know that Cheesehead's got his little video show on Stick'Em. Carlton the Doorman, Carl Chapman, has his little puppies on every Friday afternoon, the Puppy Love Hour. And those are on webcam. All you get is a tiny little screen, and sometimes the quality isn't that great. Are you talking about that, or, you know, what's going to come?
I think some of it's here. Maybe it's that particular platform. I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, but I mean,
all of the platforms are pretty big screen. Some of the shows are pretty high quality.
Oh,
one of my
really?
Favorites is,
okay.
One of my favorites is I have a couple videos linked, you know, right on my blog to it. Is Wall Strip, a very smart show. 5-minute program, interview with major people.
I thought it was a striptease show for those Wall Street types.
Well, I am,
you know, like the
Vegas,
Naked
so
News.
I can see why you'd be confused.
Okay.
So that's an excellent show. I mean, it's just a 5-minute segment. It's an interview with the high profile people. They've had people like Beth Comstock on talking about this very thing, and how NBC Universal is really looking to the internet as really the future of broadcast, because that's part of the other part of the equation is all our devices, our phones, our TVs, our computers, they're becoming integrated to such a degree that you won't be able to distinguish, you know, what's the difference between my TV and my computer and my phone. It won't make a difference.
Okay.
With the proliferation of these devices, as I said, I think that creates I don't think it's going to be around for long. It creates an opportunity for companies instead of just being the advertiser. There's a chance that you could become the broadcaster, have your whole entire show.
Okay.
I don't see anything wrong with that. Now, it won't work for everybody. There are some recruiters that might play better on a blog, on a radio show, on a internet TV show. You know, you have to kind of match your skill sets. You have to look at your own strategic communication, and I think that's key too. It has to be, when you look at doing a program, it has to have some semblance of being strategic for your business. I think we also have a real life example right now being developed over at Talent Zoo.
Let's put Talent Zoo to the side for 1 minute.
Sure.
We've got a couple of issues I just want to point out here. One, you're saying that the vehicles are there right now. Wall Strip, which J.D. Jason Davis just sent me a message. I don't know if he's on the line. He says it's great. Jason, are you there?
Yeah.
It's a good show?
Sure.
Okay, so he says yes. Now, Dave Manister, he's there as well, right? Dave?
Right here.
You said that's been acquired, right?
It was just acquired, yes.
Okay, so you guys go on back to the quiet right now. But I just wanted to get you to pipe in. Okay, so it's good. Dave Manister says, obviously someone thinks it's good enough to buy. So let's say the vehicle is there. That's your first point. But we're talking about monetizing this. Now, you were going into that. You said it had... Sounds like you're saying now that it's not a standalone business. It's strategically related to promoting your other business. So it's not a media business aside from your recruiting business. Is that right? That's all I'm coming to in a very wordy
way. Pretty close. I would tee it up as like several things now. I think that, and this is, I think, one of the changes that we're seeing in communication. Traditionally, everything that you did was something that you had to buy. All marketing was an expense. And now, because of... you know, having advertisers potentially buy on these things because the platforms are making these advertisers available, because advertisers can buy your show, you could actually generate income from a show that's really designed to help market your business. As long as it's not obtrusive, I'm not talking about, you know, I don't believe you can create an infomercial and pretend it's a show and expect people to buy advertising on it. I think it has to be a real show, but it could easily tie into things that you do and things that you would talk about, much like a blog does.
Okay, so blogs are always touted as giving you an opportunity to demonstrate how much you know, and so this is the same thing, and you get someone to advertise while you do that. Is that right?
Yeah, and perhaps even more credible, because when you actually can see the people's faces and it's cut together nicely, or hear their voices as in a radio show, all these things really lend to the credibility of your programming and what you're displaying. I think there's a real opportunity to make them completely integrated, where you could have a blog that supports your shows, because there are some differences of thinking when you lay out a program as opposed to a blog. But you could
Can you just elaborate? What were you saying there exactly?
If you do a television program, even if it's a 5-minute piece, that's a very linear communication format. I don't see blogs as very linear. They're set up in a chronological order, but because of labels and links and backlinks, it's very nonlinear. I mean, you can learn something on a blog very quickly, and you kind of create your own feel. You really can't do that in a television program or an internet television program, because it's linear. You have to start and
have to follow it right through, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, but what you could do, I think, is create, make them interlinking. So if you do a show once a week or once a month or whatever it might be to start, you could talk about it on your blog and give a summary for those people who aren't inclined to watch it, or maybe give them a reason to watch it.
You know what Jim Stroud does at jimstroud.com, has the Recruiter's Lounge. Harry, sorry, I'm putting you on the back burner, but I'm giving you lots of ammo. You can make all kinds of notes with what he's saying, and you can punch him out later on. But Jim Stroud, when he does a podcast, he posts on his blog the topics and gives you the minutes point, so you could actually fast forward it to that section if you're interested in. He sort of indexes it like that. It's like an index at the back of a book. Only
I saw that. I think that's a really interesting approach.
Uh huh. So
I'm not sure if that's the right approach or not, but I did note that, and I think it's a very interesting approach because you could cut right to the sections you want.
Okay. Okay. So sorry. Go ahead. I know I took you off track. I'm doing it for Harry's sake, just to give him a break. I want to confuse you in advance. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, actually, since you mentioned Jim, I mean, he's got a pretty decent radio program, and I know you want to put it on the back burner, but that one also now is part of the Talent Zoo distribution platform.
Oh, no. Okay, now you can come to Talent Zoo. Sorry, okay. That's why I just wanted to put – I forgot all about it. Thanks for reminding me.
I think they have a very interesting mix that they launched with, you know, they've always had the lounge, but now it's sort of in the forefront, and various blogs and podcasts are highlighted on their platform, right on their front page every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty amazing setup. So now they have some of their programming is their programming. Some of their programming is people like Jim signing on. I think that's a tremendous opportunity.
How's that any different from, let's say, every day at the top of your blog, you do a little roundup, and if someone's got a new podcast, whether it's Jim Stroud at the Recruiting Lounge or mm-hmm. C.M. Russell at, what's his show called? J.D.?
What?
You know, he's got the podcast?
Of what?
C.M. Russell. He's got podcasts, too.
Yeah,
maybe
he has podcasts. Jobs and Pods.
Jobs and Pods? No, I think that's different. Anyway, sorry to go on. So you got C.M. Russell, you got him. You've also got Bill Vick, who's a great podcaster as well. So every day, if you just put those at the top of your blog, is that any different from what Talent Zoo is doing right now?
Not really. I mean, to become a distribution platform, I think what you need to do if you wanted to do that is to make sure that those feeds are something that, I mean, you want to review them and pick only the best so that it augments your what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's unique with Talent Zoo is, because I was always a firm believer that they're the kind of company that can do something like this.
Can we
they have a tremendous audience already. So in order to make that constant contact and keep people engaged, you know, people in the communication industry are going to go to Talent Zoo, and also if they want to, pick up shows on various topics.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it's smart that they did that.
Now, Talent Zoo is a recruiting firm for creative types or advertising people, is that right?
I think they have a much broader spectrum in the entire communication industry. So it would be everything from corporate execs to, you know, to creative people, to copywriters, to public relations specialists.
Okay.
That's what they focus on as their niche.
And so coming back to the monetization, they're not making money off. Are they paying Jim and whomever else they have on their blog? Where's the money in that distribution? And coming back to the other idea, let's say you're doing a show. Let's say this was a TV show and we had a split screen with me and you and Harry and maybe at the top the call-in crew. And would we just put a banner up? Would someone approach Jergens Hand Soap and say, you know, pay me for this, and I'll keep you on screen the whole time? How would that work?
I can't speak to Talent Zoos. I think they're, at least currently, it seems to be that they're using it more as a marketing strategy to get people within the communication industry to visit their site on a continual basis. That's their true benefit. Now, if in terms of monetization, that's where you could do something a little bit different. When you look at some of these other platforms, what seems to be the trend is rollout ads, like in the beginning where you have to look at an ad before you see the show, those are pretty much been shortlisted. Those are going to go away. What it's going to be replaced by is either, like what Rever does, tail-end advertising that you can click on at the end of the show, or what really seems to be the next step is to have a little product image right on the show at the bottom of the screen.
Okay, just like they have on those network symbols on regular TV.
Kind of, yeah, if you're watching Fox or CNN or any of those shows, you know, those symbols can be replaced by advertisers. And what's unique about the Internet is you can click on the advertiser and visit their site on the Internet.
Okay. Okay, so let's give Harry a break. Come on, Harry.
Yes.
Go. Do you have anything to say, or should we keep talking? This is your chance.
Well,
I'm getting
you know,
over here.
First of all, I'm a big fan of Richard's.
Okay.
And so I'll be hard on the issue and soft on the person here.
You know what? On the Recruiting Animal show, we like hard issue and hard on the person.
Yeah, no, I'll be hard on you.
Okay.
I'll be hard on the issue as it pertains to Richard. Because it's a really nice thought to think that people can monetize content, and people can monetize content. The New York Times does it. The Wall Street Journal does it. I mean, people do it, right? And Rupert Murdoch's made a ton of money monetizing content. I'm a recruiter, right? And so let's just start with that. I make my money when I place people. And so content is a means to an end with me. It's not an end unto itself. My content serves to credibilize me to my target customers, and that's really what it's all about. There's a tremendous amount of search engine friendliness, obviously, that goes with the production of blog content, and that's great. So, right, it helps me to get found, and it helps credibilize me to the people who find me. The big issue that I struggled with when I got into the production of my own content, the learning curve for me was, number one, on the technology side, right? So all I do now is produce written content. About 9 months ago, I bought a podcast starter kit from musiciansfriend.com. It was about $350. I still haven't figured out how to hook it up. It's crazy, you know, actually, because I'd love to get into the business of podcasting, but I'm too much of a Luddite to figure out how it works, you know? It's just reality. Let alone video casting. I can't imagine that I would be able to create the bandwidth to actually learn how to use that technology.
Now, let me stop you there. Okay, obviously, I don't know anything, and I'm hosting this show. It doesn't take that much to do it at a minimal level. Maybe you're thinking, you know, a little webcam is not good enough for you, or an ordinary podcast like this. Maybe you need a glamorous format. Is that your problem?
I don't know.
Obviously, you invested in
it. I mean, my problem, as I said, I mean, I'm a Luddite, right? Mm-hmm. A Luddite is somebody that doesn't understand.
Yeah, I know what a Luddite is.
Okay,
a wreck
well,
machine.
For the benefit of your listeners, you know, but
except
like
for JD.
Yeah, for JD. I'm not, you know, I'm good at what I do, but beyond my little tiny little circle of competence, you know, I tend to be kind of a Nimrod. And I, for whatever reason, I just have a hard time getting my arms around podcasting and video casting technology. Sometimes, actually, the HTML, you know, in a regular print blog creates barriers for me. But anyway, the issue isn't like how dumb I am. The issue is really the learning curve on the technology side is a barrier. The other barrier, right, there are going to be three here, but the other barrier is editorial, right, figuring out who is your target reader, what do they want to read, how are you going to reach them, what's going to resonate with them, what do they fear, what makes them mad, what are their top three daily frustrations, so that you can create content that will make them add you to their RSS reader. I mean, the reality is Technorati now says that there are 71 million blogs out there. I don't know. I presume that's correct. That's an awful lot of clutter, you know? And so if I'm a recruiter with MRI somewhere in Oklahoma or Indianapolis and I'm thinking about starting a blog, cutting through the clutter is a pretty formidable consideration, right? So you have to have an editorial platform that's going to be capable of cutting through the clutter. The third thing that's a barrier is the production of it all. Technology is one thing, editorial is another. Actually being able to sit down and carve out the time and make it happen is something separate entirely. I've got 250 pages of content on my blog. If you had my blog queued up and you hit Control-P to print it, it'd be 250 pages long. most people just aren't going to bother with that. And frankly, they're going to have a hard time justifying that to their bosses. You know, I'm really speaking for recruiters, you know, but the recruiter is going to take valuable time when he or she should be on the telephone or, you know, developing candidates or doing interviews or whatever, and there's going to be quiet emanating from their cubicle.
Okay, so let me come in here. So, sorry, that's my headset. It's making all that static. I have to get it replaced because it's wrecking the show. Anyway, but what you're saying is two things. It takes too much time to create good stuff. I will agree with you. But number two is, you said it takes a lot of market research to, you know, get the audience. That's usually beyond us. Is that what you're saying? Those two things?
Well, I don't want to say necessarily market research, okay? Because that implies focus groups and stuff. But for example, you have to have an understanding of who your niche is. I mean, I read the Fordyce letter. I think the Fordyce letter rocks. You know, it's just such a great resource. And one of the things that Paul Hawkinson and his team have talked about in Fordyce letter is, why don't recruiters niche themselves better than they do? And so what I think to that is, I mean, I niche myself really, really hard to the e-commerce thing. And I know how an e-commerce person thinks and how they buy and what they fear and what makes them mad, et cetera. And I know, you know, what magazines they read, and I read the same magazines. And so the same things that they might read in a magazine are the same kinds of things with more of a job interviewee, job search process kind of slant on my blog, right? But that's why niche magazine editors, trade publication editors from the e-commerce space reach out to me, is because, in a sense, my blog is a logical extension of their own editorial platform. And so I'm saying if you're...
You know what? I'm going to let...
Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, your headset's cutting out on you.
Sorry about that.
Animal,
can you hear me?
I only hear about half of what you're saying.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Great. Sorry about that. I fixed it. You're saying that other media for your business come to you. Is that what you're saying, yes or no?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
so,
I just want Mr. Mustache is going to – that's a real opening for him, okay? He'll come in there in a second. So you are already linked in some way to the larger media beyond your blog for your industry.
Yeah, no, and I hope that I create an opening for Richard. I think it's – I mean, I'm not here to necessarily – blow Richard's ideas out of the water.
Oh, what do you want to wreck the show? That's what you're supposed to be doing.
Well, no, but I'm here to say that you can monetize content, but it's really, it's a hell of an undertaking, and you can't just haul off and do it. It's not a part-time thing. You have to make a real commitment to your industry, to your niche. You have to have a teachable point of view. You have to make sure that your stuff is, you know, very intelligently written. And if it's not, then, you know, then you do damage to your own brand and you decredibilize yourself to the industry.
Okay, let's go to him. Mr. Mustache, go.
Okay. Just going back to some of those points, I mean, they're valid points, and I think they're things that people need to consider before, you know, they say, okay, I'm going to do a show tomorrow. I feel inspired. That sounds like a good idea to me. I don't think it's 100% that easy, but addressing some of the points, I think the technology, you know, every day it's becoming easier and easier. Where I see the point is valid is I recently created it's completely private, but I created a private family blog. So I'm dealing with people who generally on a day-to-day basis have, you know, they don't utilize the Internet. What we would take for granted is easy on a blog post is very difficult for them. So I can appreciate that. There is a learning curve. I think as you move toward video, the learning curve is a little steeper than it is on maybe a podcast as it is on a blog, because blogs are extremely easy, at least to me. That doesn't necessarily mean, though, that you know, who's to say that you couldn't have some help on the tech side? If you have a really great idea for a show, you know, you might be able to find people who are experts in that field.
They're already coming to them, it sounds like.
to a system, or to say, let's put you on.
Well, okay. Maybe JD will understand what this is about, because I used to be a professional musician, right? And I played all original music, and we would travel around in a band, in a van, and we would play in clubs like CBGB's, right, in front of, you know, four people at 2 in the morning on a Wednesday night. And that's what blogging is like. There are probably 15 people listening to this radio show right now.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to bust your balls, but that's reality, okay? This isn't, you know, the BBC, okay?
Yeah,
this
but you know what? 100,000 listen during the week to the site. It's where it's hosted, but go ahead. I won't argue that point.
Yeah, I mean, this is like this is a small audience, you know.
Okay.
And so what I'm suggesting is that I've been in the blogosphere, you know, toiling away in relative obscurity now for all of 3 years, and a lot of the content that I posted on my blog when I first started blogging 3 years ago came from a newsletter that I wrote 2 years before that. So, like, I've been cranking out my own content for magazines and for my own newsletter and now blog for, like, the better part of 5 years. And I'm saying it's, you know, I'm, like, not exactly an overnight sensation. You know what I'm saying?
And I don't know.
So for a recruiter, and I will limit ourselves to the recruitosphere for the purposes of this show, for a recruiter, they better come to this thing with the expectation that they're going to be doing it for a small audience, and the ROI is not going to be really easy to calculate on the front end.
Maybe not on the front end. I think long term, it comes down to like anything. It does come down to that content, which was your second point, content development. I mean, that's critical. You have to have great content in order to, you know, attract readership.
Yeah.
Let me just point out that.
Yes, I was just going to bring you in. Dave Manister, ERE.net.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
First of all, I'm liking Carl more and more because, first, he loves the Fordyce letter, and second, I live about 5 blocks away from where CBGB was before they closed down.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do you think? Okay, go ahead.
It's huge.
Yeah.
But the entire history of media, or at least online media, in the recruiting industry, I can think off the top of my head of 4 organizations that have, like, successfully or at least partially successfully made the media model work for them, and that's ERE, that's John Sumser, that's recruiting.com, which mostly was, you know, through the sale of the company made money on it, and that's Cheesehead with his sponsorship.
Yeah. Give him his time. Give him a minute at least.
And every other organization that's tried has, you know, has kind of given up on it or just kind of, you know, settled on getting smaller pieces of the pie. But that's it. I mean, and you know, I don't know how much money is out there in total for everybody, and I don't know if it's enough. I mean, I'm kind of with Carl on this. I don't know if it's enough to really support.
Okay, but what Mr. Mustache is saying, just let me interrupt you. Okay, I'll interrupt. He's not necessarily saying that someone's going to make their blog, like John Sumser or whatever his site is called, an ERE, their full-time business. He's saying if you're blogging already, why not make it a sideline? Am I right about that, Mr. Mustache?
Exactly. I mean,
oh, there you go.
As
okay,
a marketing
okay.
tool, you might as well make some money on it to help augment the expense and hopefully recoup some of the money and the time that you're putting into it. It doesn't make sense to me to take a meeting
okay,
where you
stop there. You stop there. Okay,
got
Dave.
It.
Dave, do you have anything
yeah.
else to add to that? We just rebutted what you were saying.
I didn't hear a rebuttal there. I mean,
part-time blogging, or part-time making a bit of money on the side is different from saying, you know, that he's not advising someone to turn themselves into a total media business. That's quite different.
Yeah, it is different.
Well, I question whether there's enough money to be made making this on the sideline because, I mean, everyone here who's involved with blogging knows that, you know, it takes a lot of time and effort to do it right. If that's time
Hey, Dave, do you know I was in the paper today?
Versus working on your core business.
Do you know I was in the paper today? You're talking to someone who's very famous.
I just want you to know it.
I was in the paper twice this week.
I think I saw the first one. Not
Go to my blog today. But anyway, I'll go on. JD wants to come in and trash you. Go ahead, JD.
Yeah, you know what I think? I think that if you're a recruiter and you use your blog to make placements, I think that the side money that might come from making a little bit of money isn't worth the effort. You know, you're a perfect example, Mike. You spend
Thanks.
A lot of time on your blog, right?
Yeah.
And you're a recruiter.
Yes.
And you make no placements from the blog.
Not from the blog.
You need to put a lot of work into
it. Yeah, but you know what? I'll fight with you there. The thing is, I'm writing there for recruiters, and that's not my main business. But you know that I've got another blog I haven't launched yet that is directed to some of my candidate groups. And with the information I've learned blogging for the recruiter sphere, I can transfer it there, just like Harry, writes for his candidate pool and client pool. You can do the same thing, and you can actually, if you're recruiting in a very large employee pool, it's feasible that you can establish a fairly large readership. I don't know, Harry. I don't want to know your count. I know you work with an elite. But theoretically, would you say, J.D. Jason Davis,
what?
That someone could have a large readership for their actual business blog?
For a recruiting-related blog?
Yeah, let's say you were writing for semiconductors.com. I understand that it had a fairly large numbers of readers, right?
I think that if you have a database of candidates and you have a blog that you market it to, I think you have to say, I'm either going to become a media site or I'm going to use my time to deliver good content to my candidates and the candidates who are not yet candidates.
Yeah, you're an expert in getting people to sponsor you. Am I right about that, yes or no?
I don't know about an expert.
This guy, he had his website, semiconductors.com. I'll just explain it to everybody. He put up information there about semiconductor engineers, the semiconductor industry, and the jobs he was working on, and he got companies to put up advertisements for a monthly fee. So there's an example. If you would have focused a little more, I don't know if you're still writing it, if you would have focused a little more on industry content, I'll bet you could have got even more sponsors.
Hold on, but there were two pieces of that, right? One was a job board.
Yep.
And that's what was being sponsored.
Okay.
And the blog was used to promote openings that were essentially for full fee placements.
Mm-hmm.
And that blog made a lot of placements.
There you go. And if it had a little additional content that I'm sure your sponsors would have gone in for that as well, it would have enhanced the product for your candidate readers.
Yeah, but that was, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Okay. Anybody else? Or the original two guys?
I
Harry?
Go back yeah, well, that, what he's, if I'm hear him correctly, what he's saying is that the recruiting business supplied 95% of the revenue, probably more than that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's happening with me. Again, it comes back to this idea that the blog is a means to an end for me, not an end unto itself, right? The blog is not the business. The blog is the marketing arm of the business for me. If I were in the business of being a blogger, my blog would look a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there aren't any advertisements on my blog. Now, to Richard's point, sure, I could put Google AdWords on there and whatever, and I could pay for, you know, beer or something maybe, with the revenues that I would generate from Google AdWords, but it's really negligible. And I want to get back to this issue of Joel.
I don't think that's the best way to monetize a blog anyway, though, just to throw that out. The ads and the sponsorships is a very small sliver of what you can do. I mean, you know, you look at some of the blogs, especially like an author or something like that, honestly, their blog is the advertisement, and people are buying their books because they like what they see on the blog, and it is an ends to a mean, but at the same time, that gins up their credibility and gives people a reason to come back. They don't miss the newest book because they're there every day or once a week if they read, you know, 8 posts at a time. I think there's other things that you can do to create money than simply getting a sponsor. I think if we're talking about video and digital media specifically,
that's where the money's to be made, because if an advertiser likes your show because it's addressing a larger target audience, not necessarily recruiters specifically, but maybe the candidates, if you had a show that's targeting candidates, maybe one of your employers would easily jump on, because their image is going to be at the bottom of the screen for as long as the show's on the air.
J.D. Jason Davis is the expert at getting people to sponsor just that kind of thing. So I'm with you on that. Now, whether it you know, the time to produce a show has got to be enormous, even a 10-minute or 15-minute show, at least I'm imagining that. So that, and that's in Harry's favor. Harry, Mr. Mustache interrupted you, like he should have, but I'll give you a chance to come back.
Well, no, I mean, he hasn't said anything that I disagree with. I mean, the reality is that content production is it's a separate activity. It's a separate business. It requires a separate level of expertise. You know, it requires technology expertise, editorial expertise, production expertise. I mean, you look at ERE. It's a completely separate animal, in my opinion. And I happen to do a lot of recruiting, and I happen to do a lot of producing of my own content. And the content is an enormous drain on my time. Now, thank gosh it's there, okay, because there's definite SEO value. I think for the last, 2 years, I've been the top result on MSN, Yahoo, and Google for marketing headhunter for obvious reasons. But I'm number 1, 2, or 3 on all 3 search engines for e-commerce recruiter, for marketing recruiter, and for management recruiter. So, and let's not forget that I'm one guy working out of my house in a T-shirt. Think about that. I mean, I dominate, okay, primarily because of what the blog has done for me. So there is definitely an ROI for the blog, or I wouldn't do it, right? So if you're a fellow recruiter and you've made it this far into this conference call, let me say to Richard's point and to every blogger's point, content rocks, and I'm the first guy in the pool when it comes to fighting in favor of content. But it's really and truly, you can't just haul off and do it. You have to have a teachable point of view on stuff. You have to know who your reader is. You have to know how they think and what they're all about. And your editorial platform and the way you market yourself and position yourself on your blog has to plug into that target market hand in glove. And there's just no other way to put it. And that's, you know, that whole learning curve about producing world-class content. I think my content's pretty good. I don't blog every day. I couldn't blog every day. I don't have enough to say. There's not enough intelligent stuff that I have to say to blog every day. I haven't even posted this month, and I look at my watch, it's the 16th. I haven't posted one time since April 29th. Yet I continue to do well in search engines, and if I didn't post again for the next 6 months, I'd probably still be number 1, 2, or 3 for my target expressions in Google for my blog. You know, it would take that long for me to get dislodged at the top of the organic rankings. But, boy, I'll tell you what, you really have to know something about producing content and really have realistic expectations about how that ROI is going to shape up and how you're going to calculate it. And
okay.
You have to understand that the blog is a means to an end, not an end unto itself.
Okay. So you're not contradicting him, but you just say it's unlikely that you could do it and make it. Anyway.
I couldn't do it and make ends meet on AdWords, and I wouldn't have that expectation.
Okay, we're not talking about AdWords. He never talked about AdWords. Dave Manister, I'll come back to you. I cut you off before. You want to come in with something else?
Nope, I'm just listening.
You're just listening. J.D. Jason Davis, got anything else to say?
I just have to get the pizza that's being delivered. Hold
okay.
On.
Anybody else on the line who has something to say that I haven't addressed yet before I go back to the main guys?
I would like to ask a question about Cheesehead.
Okay.
Maybe somebody knows, and I don't know. I read the press release that Joel put out about his relationship with who paid him all that money? What's
job,
the name
job
of
employers,
direct employers, Job Central.
Okay, Job Central, right, okay. They paid him all that money, yet when I read the press release the third time, right, it looked like he was going to be making money providing search engine optimization consulting services to them, right? And it looked like that was probably where the lion's share of the value was being created by Joel for them, not necessarily in the sponsorship of the blog. Did I misread that?
I don't know. JD would know.
That's not the way I read it, but I really have no knowledge of it beyond that. But I read it as a straight sponsorship.
JD, are you with the pizzas or are you with us?
I'm just coming back now.
Okay. Harry wants to know, direct employers, Bill Warren, are they paying Cheesehead just to sponsor his blog or to do SEO, search engine optimization, for him? Just in case anybody's listening, beyond the 15 people, who doesn't know what search engine optimization is or SEO, it means you set up your own site, your site so it's found more easily by search engines like Google out of the mass of whatever, 72 million plus.
And the only reason, by the way, that I ask isn't to pick on Joel, but there were four examples of people who were making ends meet with content at the beginning of this call. One was ERE. There were two others, and Joel was also thrown out. I'm going to take exception with the Joel example because I don't know that content is really his primary business.
I would definitely agree it's not his primary business. I don't really know about the Job Central agreement and what it was for, but I'm sure he's making more money in his SEO business than he is on his online advertising.
Don't you think lots of people want to watch him sit at the phone on Fridays? That's worth big money, let me tell you. Okay, JD, you were useless on that. You're his friend, and you couldn't give
us. I was about to answer.
Okay, go ahead. Stop eating.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
I can't tell you, Mike. No, I'm just kidding. I think that he was doing work for them anyways, right? So he's doing work for them, and they're smart, and they said, well, let's just make this whole thing a little bit bigger.
A little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, area code 513 just came on. Do you have anything to go on before I go back to the main speakers?
I think it was very smart that Job Central did that.
Yeah, nobody's knocking Joel or Job Central. I just was clarifying.
Yeah, I think he would have got that money anyways.
Okay, so then it's more about SEO.
Yeah, and again,
advisory services.
I have
of content.
I have no idea for sure, but that's what I think. I think that he would have gotten that money anyways.
Yeah, okay, so I'm right.
Okay, Mr. Mustache, anything to say?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about a lot of knowledge points, but to, you know, draw something from, like, Albert Einstein, imagination can be more powerful and more important than knowledge. You have to go beyond sometimes. You know, I'm not saying everybody who starts a video company or gets into media distribution as part of their marketing tools is going to become the next Oprah, but I do believe it's possible if you have the right show. Now, part of, you know, just to give maybe a little bit more understanding where I'm coming from, I suppose I could say that I might take content development a little bit more for granted because that's my business than some other people, you know, would.
I think that's just a huge issue. Every career journalist says, oh, go start a blog, right? Most people can't write blogs, but they can do it, so they think everybody can.
Right. I don't think everybody can write a blog.
Okay.
I think it's something to look at. I think for the larger companies where you have more than one person, you know, it might be good enough just to have a company blog where you have multiple authors, or maybe just, you know, half the people or two of the people or whatever mix you have. You have to look at each company has a different potential, how they can utilize the internet as part of their marketing and at the same time potentially generate income.
But I sidetracked you. Go ahead. You said you take the content aspect for granted, but something about imagination.
Well, the bottom line is we know, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do. You want to gain as much knowledge as you want, but you have to look at the imagination aspect. If you can develop, I think even a recruiter, if they can develop the right show with the right content that reaches the right amount of people, they might end up having to face one day a very tough, and because of all the distribution platforms they can now appear on, they're going to have to one day possibly make a tough decision. Am I going to make more money doing the recruiting, or am I going to make more money being the personality for recruiting?
Let me ask you a question. Does the technology exist for me to put me, you, and Harry on a split screen right now online?
Yeah.
No way. You're kidding. Oh, you guys better watch out. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, the technology exists. I mean, there'd have to be some research involved, but I know it exists.
Okay.
I might be spoiled, too, because, you know, we work on apples.
Okay.
That's easy stuff for Macintosh. So, you know, but the bottom line, and I'm not saying the split screen may or may not be the way to go. It depends on what you're doing and what kind of content you want to create. You know, we have a number of ideas for recruiting specifically. And as far as the time commitment, I mean, that's something that would depend on a lot of factors. I wish I could hazard a guess. I do believe that you have to be careful not to let, whether it's a blog or a podcast or
a video.
I don't think it should overpower your business. I think that would be a risk. You know, that means you've already made the decision to go into media as opposed to your primary core service. You know, but there's some tangible. If the more exposure you get out in the marketplace by utilizing these tools, it just stands to reason the more candidates you'll have to draw from.
Okay, that's another issue altogether. So, because here I'm going to say that, yes, I believe Harry could get sponsors for his blog who would pay him a reasonable amount of money just to do what he's doing. So I think you're partly right.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, sponsors have contacted me, and I do okay with my blog, right?
Yeah. I'm just saying that if you had JD as your agent, he could sell enough advertising that you'd make a considerable, just sideline,
that's
not a
bullshit.
Little money, money
that's,
enough to take your kids on vacation
that's
for
That's bullshit. It's just not. It has nothing to do with JD. I was contacted recently by Federated Media.
Yeah.
You know, the John Battelle group.
Okay.
Do you know those guys?
No, I know who he is.
Like a blog advertising network. With,
like the Pajama Network and stuff like that.
Yeah, Kathy Sierra and Hugh McLeod and Guy Kawasaki, et cetera.
She died.
I mean, the advertising revenues are just negligible. I mean, it goes back to what David
That's not what I'm talking about. You're missing the point. J.D. Jason Davis, we got to wrap up soon. But what I'm talking about are the same kind of badges that you used to sell for semiconductors.com. You know what I'm talking about, yes or no? you're busy eating again. This is a professional show!
I'm here for lunch today.
Okay, he's lost. He used to have these badges on his site. And let me tell you, he charged enough per month that it would be a very nice sideline income that would be passive. You wouldn't have to do anything. You're already doing something on your site. So I'm saying Mr. Mustache is right to that extent. Whether you could expand it,
start taking revenue in exchange for inner ad space or whatever on your blog, then you know you have stakeholders who are going to start making demands of you about the quality of your content, the frequency of your posts, and, you know, the nature of your posts, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, that
okay.
I have to cut you off there. That sounds like bad negotiation. You know, magazines and publications and newspapers have been doing this for years, and they don't let their advertisers control their content. If anything, when advertisers start to control content, the entire publication or media will fall apart. That's just not the way it's done. I think you have to have your own ethics and credibility in order to have advertisers without letting them control your content.
Again, this isn't a personal, it's nothing personal here, but it's like,
sure.
I can tell you what Federated Media told me, you know, and I presume these guys were at the bleeding edge of, you know, how to monetize blogs because they're in bed with Guy Kawasaki and people who, you know, TechCrunch and people who really do it on a 50x larger scale than I'm doing it. And what they said was, you know, if we do something like this, then we're going to have some requirements regarding number of page views, you know, number, et cetera. I mean, they have minimums.
Okay, those are hits, not content changes.
Well, okay, but I think Joel would agree and Jason would agree that, you know, if you stop posting, your page views are going to go down. I mean, my page views are down slightly this month, but I've been busy with paying clients and blogging just I haven't.
Okay, so you're saying there is that that's going to, once you make a commitment to money, you have to, you're not talking about, Richard was talking about corrupting the content. You're not talking about that. You're talking about just maintaining a certain level of content to justify the payments. Yes, that's taken
for
granted.
I'm not talking about corrupting the content.
Don't muddy the waters.
Okay.
You have an obligation, and that obligation is going to place constraints on you.
Maybe they're not onerous constraints, but they'll be constraints nonetheless.
Okay, I'm not with you on that point. The other stuff, you know, a lot of the time taken away from your recruiting business, I'm with you 100%. This, what you're talking about now, it's related to that, but, you know, if you're doing a certain amount of blogging and they're interested in you and you've said you're sort of doing a minimal amount already, then either they're going to buy you for that amount or... So let's leave that topic. We're running out of time to make big points. I like the way Richard slammed you for the last few minutes.
I didn't hear a word you said.
That.
Jesus Christ, I have to get a... you know what? I'm going to be fined for swearing. But, yeah, sorry about that. We have 5 minutes left. Does anyone want to come in for some real tough talk? That's all that's allowed from here on in. Also, Bulldoza asked me to sing another song for JD, but I don't know if I want to do that. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
So it's either tough talk or you're going to sing?
Somebody say something.
The best content is over.
Who wants to throw down?
You guys, anybody out there in the peanut gallery? Dave Manister, your last chance.
Yeah, I just wanted to apologize to Harry. I called him Carlton the Doorman about 5 times. I get confused by all your nicknames, Animal.
Yeah, well, Harry's the marketing head hunter. He doesn't have a nickname. He's kept his own.
Like me, no nickname.
Yeah, well, you'll get one day. We'll see. Okay. Yeah. JD, he wanted me to sing My Buddy, but I don't know if I feel like it now. Life goes on since you went away. I think about you all through the day, my buddy. My buddy, oh so true.
Animal, you're cutting down on us again.
I better not talk anymore. I better end the show. Thanks, everybody. I'm going to get a new headset. That's it for today. Goodbye.
Hello?